Let us stand together and let us sing "More Precious Than Silver" that you'll find on the screen. Let us pray together. And now the blessings of this moment and the calling of us to worship you and in the power of the Holy Spirit, may your grace overwhelm us and may we find you moving us in all that we say and do. And we pray this prayer in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We do want to welcome each one today to our worship, and on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, let us sing the hymn 131, "We Gather Together." first altar for this day is page 821, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing.
Know that the Lord who made us is God.
We are the Lord's. We are the people of God, the sheep of God's pasture.
Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise.
Give thanks and bless God's name.
For the Lord is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever. God's faithfulness to all generations.
We come this day, O Lord, knowing that your presence is with us, that your grace walks with us, and that your healing power is upon us. We offer ourselves in the midst of that grace, knowing that your walk with us teaches us and guides us and leads us. But as we come into that walk today and as this worship today, we also know, O Lord, that we have people that are on our hearts, that we have people that are on our minds, that people that we care about who need healing, who have broken bones that need to be cared for, that have surgery this week, that you will be present in that room for the surgery and that you will guide the doctor's hands. We know, O Lord, that you are with families who have lost loved ones. And we pray this morning that you would be with them, that you would guide and direct. And we do lift Jim Fickey up and his family as that time today of gathering at the funeral home for that love and caring that only you can give to them. We pray, Lord, that you would bless and keep us in a place of love. And that on this day, this Sunday before Thanksgiving, that as we step back and we look at all that we could say we have nothing to be thankful for. We see the wars around our globe and we see all the people that are hurting and dying. We see all the issues in our countries and in our own streets and cities and communities. And we worry about where we're going and how you're going to be with us in that. And we just at times feel there's nothing to praise you for. And yet if we look carefully at the blessings of our soul, at the blessings of the ones around us, the blessings of our family, the blessings of even some of our struggles, we find that there is more to give thanks for than we never imagined. There's more in hope than we ever thought would be. And there's more in grace than we ever hoped to receive. You give it to us and you have blessed us. And as we step back and look at our journey, We find those places that you have carried us and moved us. We find those places that you have loved us beyond anything we could ever have hoped for. And so Thanksgiving is that time to give thanks for who we are and whose we are, and for a country that allows us to be free, that I can stand in this pulpit and we can proclaim your word in everything that we are doing. So let us do that and be excited for our lives and where we will go. Now grant a blessing upon these dear folk for Thanksgiving. May your hand be with them, and may your power overwhelm us. And in doing so, let us pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Continue to sing on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, hymn number 140, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let us stand and sing together. Hymn 140, or the words will be on the screen. be seated. We'd ask our ushers to come forward, please. Let us pray. Now in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us give to you as you've given to us in fullness of who we are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You would find your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. We're going to begin reading at verse 14, but we're not going to read it all at once. That's why you got to sit down. And so we'll start at 14, and we're going to work through this. You know, somebody we don't pray for enough, by the way, is Keith. He has to follow me on Sunday mornings, and I very seldom do exactly what's written in the bulletin. And so he's just to keep up with. So thank you, Keith. You didn't ask for that, but just thank you, because I know following me can be a difficult thing. So let's pray together. Now may we hear with fresh ears. May we act with excited feet, and may we think with alive minds that aren't stuck. May God's blessings be upon us on this Sunday before Thanksgiving. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So chapter 25, verse 14. Let's start there. Now I need you to do something for me that's counterintuitive to what you normally do. What is greater, 5, 2, or 1? What's greater?
Five.
Everybody say it together.
5.
All right, I'm going to prove to you you're wrong. Okay? Counterintuitive. Not the way we think. You're correct if you get 5 pennies, 2 pennies and 1 penny, the greater number is 5. And this is talking about talents. So let's read the first part and walk through it. For it is as if a man, this is still talking about the kingdom of heaven, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents or gifts. depending on which version of the scripture you're reading and which gospel, to another two, to another one, and then I want you to hear these little words here, to each according to his ability. Now let that little bit soak in. Each according to his ability. And then he went away. All right, here's the first part of this conversation. You get five talents. You have the greater amount to work with. You have two talents. You have the next greater amount. You have one talent. You have the least amount. Which takes more skill to grow? Five, two, or one? One. Which is the greater amount now? Yes, there's five, still more. But if you think about ability to make something move or grow, it's the one. Why? Well, think of it another way. If you have $5 million and lose a million, what do you still have? $4 million to live on. If you have $2 million and lose a million, what do you have left? One. If you have $1 million and you lose it, what do you have left? None. Think of this process with me. We need to first understand why the person with one would be afraid. When you risk losing it all, it's harder to risk than it is otherwise. Much more difficult. How many of us are willing to be the person with one talent, one gift, and be risking losing it all? How many of us would be more like the guy that took it and buried it so they wouldn't lose it, so the master could come back and at least have what he started with? Now, keep that in mind and walk with me for a second. The one who had received the five talents went off at once and traded with them and made five more. In the same way, the one who had two talents made two more talents. But the one who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts. Now, before we do the settling, let's talk more. Paul worked at this another way. Paul worked at this as gifts of the Spirit. Do you know what your gift of the Spirit is? Some of you have one. Some of you have two. Some of you have five. He tried to explain it by saying some are pastors, some are teachers, some, you know, they heal, some speak in tongues, some, and he goes through this lineage of things. He's got three different lists in his letters. All of them are slightly different, but they have the same tenor to them. And he tries to explain that we all have different gifts of the Spirit. Some have more than that. But there's one gift under Paul's thinking that all of us have. Now this may be news to some of y'all. I don't know if it is or not, but there's one gift we all have. I have it, you have it, Marilyn has it, Scarlett, we all have it. Any guess as to what it is? You have the gift of the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? If you follow teachings, general teachings of Methodism, of Wesleyanism, you will find that we believe that there's prevenient grace, which is the Holy Spirit speaking to you of your need to know Christ before you know, and that after you accept Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you through salvation. So each of us have the greatest gift And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit that resides in us, either telling us of our need or working and guiding with us after we know Christ. You each have that gift. You have that talent, if you want to use that terminology here today. You have the talent of the Holy Spirit. Wow. So today, in this room, in this place, sitting here in each of your souls, the Holy Spirit's residing. Okay? Have you ever thought of that? In this moment, in this room, the Holy Spirit is here. So when we say, come, Holy Spirit, come, guess what happened even before we said it? The Holy Spirit was here. You're asking for a gift you already have. Now, it doesn't mean you don't ask for more. It don't mean that you don't continue to pray that that Spirit be seen in different ways and different models and different fashions and different aspects of your life, because you do. So you have that gift. Now, let me tell you a second gift you already have. Now, wait a minute. I'm passing the first one. The first one, you can bury it in the ground by not accepting Christ as your Savior. That's going to be with you to death. Hence the thought process of bearing. It's with you to death. Okay? That's one. Here's your second gift. All of you have it. Every one of you. You have the gift of the ability to pray. Now, you may not be one of those folks who stand up in front of the congregation and pray on Sunday morning. I'm not talking about that. That may be a gift you have. It may be a talent you have. It may be something that you need to use, you need to put up and let people see it so it can multiply amongst the people around you. You ever think of that? If you hide your gift of prayer, guess what it doesn't do? It doesn't grow. It doesn't move. It doesn't change. That, again, doesn't mean you have to do it on the pulpit. It could mean that you do something really interesting. That on Sunday morning, I mean, all of y'all almost got up this morning. You know, some of us have a harder time getting up than others. I mean, I get that. Some of us kind of wake up at 12, you know, but we're kind of up. So the question becomes, did you spend more time getting physically ready for church, or just spend more time getting spiritually ready for church? And somebody would say, well, why do I got to get spiritually ready for church? You're preaching. They're singing. I'm just sitting in a pew. Well, as my dear math teacher used to say in college, he used to say, mathematics is not a spectator sport. Well, neither is worship. Sometimes I think y'all think we put you through Methodist calisthenics to make you get up and down, up and down, up and down, just to keep you awake. No, it really is, you're not supposed to be spectating. You're involved in the worship. It's not a spectator sport. Well, prayer is not a spectator sport. Everybody here should have spent at least as much time in prayer getting ready for church as you did getting ready for church. Well, what am I praying for, David? Well, you pray for me, if nothing else. I mean, you know, I need it. Anybody else, y'all need prayer? If you don't do anything but pray for me and say, well, don't let David say anything stupid. I mean, whatever you want to pray, work it out. I mean, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to pray. Pray for the people around you. Pray for the needs of the church. Pray for God's intervention in the souls of the people that need that. Pray for, you know, I'll give an example. And maybe I should do this every week, Marilyn, but last Sunday morning in my prayer, I prayed that each church would have at least one visitor. I shouldn't have been so limiting. So we show up at Pleasant Hill, and we have four visitors. Show up at Chevron, we have a visitor. Show up here, guess what we had? A visitor. Maybe I ought to ask for 100 next time. Maybe I shouldn't have limited God so much. What's the point? You all have the ability and the gift and the talent of the Holy Spirit in you. Can you imagine how much talent resides within the Holy Spirit, who, by the way, in case you don't know, is God? Imagine how much talent resides there. And then each of you have the talent of prayer. Give me, and I know that people always think I'm wrong on this, so y'all can too. But frankly, give me a church full of people who know how to pray. And I'll take that over a church people full of church people who know how to preach any day of the world. It doesn't really take, I'm sorry, for all my brothers and sisters in the ministry, it doesn't take a lot of ability to preach. You just got to know how to talk. Any of y'all know how to talk? Study, pray, accept God as your Savior first, and just talk. I mean, I've never preached a sermon in my entire life. I don't know how. I've had sermon classes. I've had all those different things. I really don't know how to preach a sermon. Some of y'all would agree with that. I have no idea. But I know how to talk. And I know I love God. So, and I know how to pray. So I preach. It's what y'all call it. I'm just talking. When God gets done with me, I sit down and shut up. I mean, you know, that's kind of how it works for me. It's talking. So look at the scripture. Look how you've got these gifts, these talents. So watch it. Go back to reading. I'll back up a little, but I'll catch back up with you, Keith. The one who received five talents went off at once, traded them in, and four or five more. The same way one had two, made two more talents. The one who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, hid it. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Uh-oh. Then the one who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over me five talents. See, I have made five more." Master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one who had two talents also came forward and said, "Master, you handed me over two talents. See, I have made two more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the same talent, the one talent, also came forward to say, "Master, I knew that you were harsh, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, this is yours, half what is yours." Master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And on my return, I would have received that with my own interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10. All right. Here's the other part of this. Here's the one general thing for all of the talents. What was expected to happen with the talents that they were given? Made more. It did not say, by the way, how much more. I've always wanted the Bible. Now, remember, I'm not rewriting it, so don't get excited. But I've always wanted the Bible to have the guy with the five talents to come back with 5 1/4 talents. And the one with two come back with 2 1/2 talents. And, you know, why? Because it's just too even. You know, have y'all ever went out and invested something and came back with exactly the same amount, just doubled? It never comes back even. I mean, those of y'all who do smart stock market, how does that work every day? Does it always come back with a gain? I don't know how it works for y'all, but everything we've had in the stock markets sometimes come back with a gain, other times we just got creamed. You know, it's like, why didn't we take it out of that before it did that? You know, it's we still tried. The two who gained attempted. They invested. They gave it a shot. The one with the one talent, because they're so afraid to lose it, buried it. Have you ever buried something because you were afraid to lose it? Oh, I believe we have. I think we let the fear of losing overcome us. We don't let it, we let it guide us instead of the belief that failure's okay. I had a book. It may still be in a box. I mean, I have it anymore. I'm not sure. But the title of the book was Failure is the Back Door to Success. The book worked on a theory that it took 100 times trying to get one thing right. And of course, it was based on the premise of that great theological understanding of the church was we've tried that before and it just didn't work. Followed up by the next great theological understanding, we've never done it that way before. Those are two great theological understandings of the church that should have never been introduced to the church. But we've done it. If you watch this, he never told them how much to bring back. In fact, the one with the one talent, what did he ask him to do? Just go put it in the bank. Come back with $1.05. You didn't have to double it. Now, I want you to remember the audience Jesus is talking to. The audience he's talking to now is his folk, but also the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the leader of the church of Israel at that time. They were given the keys to the kingdom. What was the keys to the kingdom? I will be your God if you will be my people. My friends, you've been given the keys to the kingdom. God will be our God if we will be God's people. So let me review before we read the rest of this. You have the Holy Spirit either before salvation or after, depending on whether He's telling you to be saved or you have been saved. Then you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit afterwards. You have the ability to pray. And you have the kingdom with you if you simply will let God be your God. Now again, remind me what it takes for God to be our God. Is it 437 rules of the rabbinic rules that had to be followed? Was that it? Was it, I can't even remember now, I had it written down, the number of pages that's in the Book of Discipline for the United Methodist Church that we had to follow for God to be our God? What does it take again? Faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and acceptance as God being the Savior of our lives. There it is. How hard is that again? It has one hard part. You have to turn over yourself to God in faith. You believe. So watch. And it's getting to read this. Go down. Verse 27, pick back there again. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, why is he worthless again? Because he hid what he had been given. So you have to let that sink a minute. Throw him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's a whole sermon on that last sentence, which I will not do this morning. Just listen to the wording of what hell looks like in this scripture. It's not burning fire. It's not a pit. For this scripture only, there's other scriptures, so stay with me. It's outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Another whole sermon. Just want to make sure you saw that. For the people that were listening to this, they understood that Jesus was saying, you have failed to be an obedient church. You have not did what it took to be my people. You have not professed your faith in God. So what I want to challenge you to do this morning is to be God's people. I'm not asking you to go on the street corner and preach a sermon. I'm not asking you to go to the restaurant, if that's where you go today, and eat lunch and stand up in the middle of the table and start singing a song for the restaurant so they know you're a Christian. I'm not asking you to do anything except have faith in Jesus Christ, use your prayer life, and take the gifts you have and use them however God leads you to do so. Now, if you're led to stand on that table and sing, please call me. I want to come watch. I might even sing with you. But I want you to follow the gifts that you have been given and the talents you have to change the world. And you're going to say, change the world? Doesn't that take a lot? Well, it took Jesus dying on the cross. That's a lot. For you, what does it take? Use what you have. Holy Spirit, prayer, and whatever other gifts and talents God has given you. That's it. It really isn't that difficult. And yet, apparently, it's the hardest thing in the world. Because then God, the living God, is your God. And that means God is in control. Let us pray together. So which is greater, Lord, 5, 2, or 1? Well, common sense says 5. Spiritual sense says it takes more courage to risk the one thing than it does to risk the 5. So let us have the courage of the one who died on the cross and rose again the 3rd day. And see how God changes us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is All Creatures of Our God and King. It's page 62, or you'll find it on the screen. Let us sing together. Standing as we sing. Methodist Calisthenics. Thank you. Well, I got carried away with my hallelujahs a minute ago. I like that hallelujah part of that song, so I may do it wrong again on purpose. Well, go in peace. May God's blessings be with you. Have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy it. Enjoy your family if you have family in. Enjoy the time together. Be at peace. And let God's gifts and talents walk with you. And let us go in peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.